Well, it looks like we got our white Christmas, eh? Christmas week, it's hard to believe that it's already here. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a little bit early here, I realize. We're in a series here called Wonderstruck, helping us to have that focus of Christmas really and what it's about and to help us not just get past it in a big rush and a big hurry here. And in looking at this, I want to ask you a question. How important is your name to you? You ever notice that people kind of carry different weight with their name, you know, how important it is? How many of you are, you know, if someone doesn't get it right, that really kind of disappoints me a little bit, or maybe even go as far as to say, you know what, I get a little miffed about that even. They can't even take the time to remember my name. Okay, a few people. How many of you are like, you know what, you can call me Mike, you can call me Bob, just don't call me late for dinner type of person. You know, it doesn't matter. As long as I know you're talking to me, it's okay. You can call me whatever you want. We see a variety in that, right? It really shows up, though, kind of like during this time of year because you start to see people maybe you haven't seen in a while. You got a few family get-togethers happening, you know, and so you kind of need to know names and you realize, man, it's already awkward anyways. There's a few personality clashes. Don't want to make people unnecessarily upset at you and stuff. I had one of those get-togethers. It was not planned. I'll talk about that a little bit more later of why it wasn't planned, but did take the time to ahead of time figure, you know what, I should probably kind of rehearse the people's names. So my mom's side of the family, she has 9 siblings. So I figured I'm just going to stick with the brothers and sisters, you know, aunts and uncles, you know, man, because they're kids, there's no way I'm going to remember. And grandkids, forget it. It's not happening. You know, so I'm rehearsing the names, thinking this is going to be great here. So get to the get together and see a familiar face. Think, yes, someone I know, you know, there, and still somewhat of a resemblance. Hadn't seen him in over 30 years, though. And so one of my aunts, we had traveled out west to go see. She was back for this. So I put out my hand, and I say, good to see you, Aunt Cheryl. And she says, Cheryl. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Who names their kid Cheryl? No way. I've never heard Cheryl before. Cheryl, I wanted to debate with her, but I said that probably would not be a good idea at that point, you know? Have another aunt, and she's going to introduce me to someone I had never met before. And so she goes, hey, this is Patty's second son, Eric. I'm like, right family, wrong child, okay? Oh, yeah, this is Robbie. And then I'm like, oh, wow, haven't heard that one in a while, okay? Don't get any ideas, okay? My friends call me Rob, all right? So let's make that straight here. Robbie. She goes, yeah. Don't you know how you got that name? I'm like, no, what? No one ever told me how I got that name. I figured it was just pulled out of a book. You know, I've read those books, kind of figure out what your name means. You've done that before, right? Or now you can just go on the internet and type it, and I'm sure it'll tell you. Means bright, shining fame. Just still trying to live up to that one at some point here. So that's all I knew, is that my mom hoped that I would be bright and shining and famous one day. So no. There's a lot more thought put behind it than that. It's like, okay, so tell me the story. She said, your mom had the biggest crush on this guy in high school from this show called My Three Sons. How many of you remember My Three Sons? Okay, that was before my time, okay, obviously. I don't know that I've ever seen an episode of it in my life. But Robbie is the guy with the cookie in his mouth there. I'm like, oh, nice to know. That's good. Thankfully, it wasn't her number two, which I'm sure would have been Elvis otherwise there. So I'll go with Robbie at that point. Names, though, have some importance to us, don't they? And it's kind of interesting to figure out how we get them. But with us, here's one of the struggles. Our names come before our personalities show up. Otherwise, I'm sure our parents probably would be tempted to adjust those names, wouldn't they, after a while? And that was not beyond God. He would go ahead, and if he needed to, he would change your name, okay? We see that in Scripture a few times, in fact. But when people were named in particular, as Christ was named, there was thought put into that. In fact, his name means something. And it's a wonderstruck moment if we take the time to really think about it. And we're going to look at this because it actually pops up in the Christmas story. Now, this Christmas story is going to be a little bit unusual for you, but let me ask you to turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to look, first of all, at verse number 18. And we're going to see the Christmas story. You can find it on page number 1501 if you grab a Bible there in the pew. And normally our Christmas story is the Luke 2 Christmas story, okay? Matthew is totally different. Not totally, I mean, you can tell it's a Christmas story, okay? But Matthew, it's believed, is telling the story through the eyes of Joseph. And so he hits what he believes would be the high hard ones, okay? Now, he starts it out the same here. If you look at verse number 18, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. Okay, very important part, right? That Christmas story is going to talk about the birth of Jesus. That's going to be one of the only similarities that you're going to see between that and what you normally think of this Christmas story. What do you usually think of? Probably something like this. My mind goes to something like this. Anybody else's? There's the Christmas story right there, right? The important players are there. So we see in the middle, here's baby Jesus. Think about it. If you had to explain the Christmas story in 200 words or less, we see Matthew do that. We'd probably say something like, well, obviously Jesus was there. That's what it's all about there. And you see flanked on both sides of him are his parents. We know their names even, right? What are their names? Mary and Joseph, his earthly parents here. And then we see these guys, one of them has a crown on, they all have gifts, and we know who those guys are. Who are they? The three wise men. Now there's debate whether they were really there at that time or not. Most of us believe that they came a little bit later, and there weren't necessarily just three of them. We understand that, but there are three gifts, we know. Then there's this guy in the background kind of hidden, he's holding an animal, a sheep. And so he must be what? A shepherd. We know the shepherds are there because we find in Luke 2 that the angels came and spoke to the shepherds and told them to go there and to show up, as well as the wise men were told to go there as well to meet Jesus. And so, and we see this setting here, don't we? Kind of unusual for a birth, isn't it? A little bit? Anybody think it's a little strange? If not, I think you're a little strange, okay, because people aren't born in barns these days, all right, for the most part, not on purpose at least. But we know there are animals present and that he's in this funny little thing with a bunch of hay because we know there was no room where? In the inn, we know the Christmas story, don't we? That's not the Christmas story of Matthew 1. Let's look at the Christmas story of Matthew 1. Again, picture Joseph telling the story. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Totally different, isn't it? You see the important pieces that Matthew brought to the table? Kind of like if you had your timeline of events here, it might look something like this. Well, you know what? Me and Mary, we got engaged. Okay? This was my fiance. But what happened? She got pregnant. It wasn't my child. And so I was going to divorce her, but an angel showed up. And that angel told me not to divorce her, but to actually go ahead and marry her. So we did. We got married. And guess what? We had that baby. And we named him Jesus. Not only Jesus, but people started calling him Emmanuel. Totally different from our normal thinking, isn't it, on the Christmas story? But you can see why Joseph would want to make some things straight, wouldn't you? Hey, we were engaged. This girl got pregnant, but it wasn't my baby. And so I wrestled with this idea of, you know what, do I want to stay with this girl or not? You can see that coming from Joseph, couldn't you? It had to be a real tension, real struggle. But understanding that God spoke to me, he spoke to her, he even told both of us the exact name that we're supposed to give this child. Why? Because the name is important. Not only one name, but two names. And we're going to look at those two names in particular and the meaning behind them and why it's so important that we talk about them and we are wonderstruck even in the name and understand that wonderstruck has a name. And his name is Jesus, as well as Emmanuel. And we see this take place as we unfold. Of all the names that Jesus has, these are the two most important. Jesus has over 200 names. If you go throughout the whole Bible, you even find it in the Old Testament, names for Jesus. You'll find names for Jesus other than Jesus itself in the New Testament. Things like Alpha and Omega. things that have to do with eternal life, the bread of life, things that have to do with water, all kinds of pictures that help us to understand titles really more than names. But even Jesus is more a title than a name. Emmanuel, we treat it as a name, and we only hear it usually during Christmas time, but it's not so much a name as what that name means. That is so important. And so we see this, and Joseph was told, I want you to purposely name this child Jesus, because it means what? The Lord saves. I want that to be the message. That is the message of Christmas. I want every time someone utters the name Jesus, they realize what they're saying is the Lord saves. Do you remember the first time that you heard that, understood it? I barely remember this, but it's something that has stuck in my memory. I wasn't going to church, didn't know who Christ was. Had a friend, his dad, for some reason said, hey, you want to have a button? I'm like, a button? I guess buttons were cool back then, you know. They even made their own at times, in fact. And so he had this bright orange button with bright yellow words on it. Only two words. You know what those words were, right? Jesus saves. So he gave me the button. I thought, I have to take it. I mean, it says Jesus on it. What would that be? And then I thought, now I have to keep it for the rest of my life, because you can't throw something away that says Jesus, right? That's a tension. Your Bible gets a little old, and it's like, I don't use it anymore. Should I keep it? You know you can't throw it away, right? It's like, no way. Bad things are going to happen. That's how I felt about this. But it didn't mean anything to me. I didn't understand it. It's like Jesus saves. It's kind of like, you know what, this global thing that, yeah, Jesus saves. That is good. We need him to save. Jesus saves. That was about as far as it went. I didn't understand it. Nobody took time to tell me who Jesus really was even. I don't even know if I knew that he was the Son of God, to tell you the truth, at that point. I understood, though, that there's a connection between Jesus and salvation. So much of a connection that God named him salvation. He's saying, this is salvation. The Lord is salvation. So you might say, well, why is that so important that Jesus saves? And again, sometimes because we leave it in that global and that wide perspective that Jesus, yeah, I know that Jesus saves, okay? But we need to pull that in a little bit. And there's a verse in Acts that helps us do that. Because Jesus isn't just a name, and it's not just the name by which you are saved, but look at this verse here. It says, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. Read this next part with me, would you? For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind. Now, everyone, get this part here. Together. By which we must be saved. Did you catch that? Of all the words he could have chosen, which one did he choose? Must be saved. How many of you are pretty direct? You know, you like it cut and dried, you know? Okay? All right. I don't like you people, okay? You intimidate me, all right? Here's why I don't like you. You're inflexible. You know what I do like about you? You are very clear. I know exactly what you're thinking. Don't you get that feeling when you read those words? He uses some pretty intense words. Salvation is found in no one else. In other words, no flexibility on this one, guys, okay? There is no other name under heaven. None, zero. This is the only one, period. And then he says, under heaven, given to mankind, by which we might be saved? No. By which we can be saved? No. By which we are saved? No. By which you must be saved. In other words, if you want to be saved, that's the only way it's happening. Wow, that gets a little nerve-wracking, doesn't it? It's like, ooh, that's direct. In fact, we might think, that's kind of like exclusive, isn't it? It is. Do you know why? Because sometimes we need it that way, don't we? What I do appreciate, again, about someone who is direct is they're very clear. I might not like that clarity, but it's important that I have it. With directness comes great clarity. You see, this is such an important message, he doesn't want anyone to confuse it. Here's why. Jesus is the only one that can save. Because did you catch what he's saving us from? Our sin. He's the only one that can save from sin. There isn't anyone else who could even attempt that. It's not even possible for them to do it. That's why he wants great clarity on this, is because this is the most loving thing for you to understand, is that Jesus, the Lord, is the one who saves us from our sin, and we need to be saved from our sin. It is so important. So with that, who do you know that needs to know that Jesus saves? We all do. It may be you. It may be a friend. It may be a family member. It could be a coworker. So what do? Share with them what Christmas is all about. Share with them, did you know that God called his son salvation? You ever wonder when you're looking in the Old Testament why you never see the name Jesus? Do you realize it is there? Every time you see the word salvation, that's Jesus. People named their children salvation, not that word. It was a different one. I'll tell you what it is in just a moment here, that you will see Jesus in. It was called Yeshua. Sounds kind of like a word we use today. You notice people don't mostly, there are a few. The first time I saw it, I was shocked. Most people don't go around calling their kids Jesus, do they? No, a little bit worried about that. They might not quite meet up to the name, right? So it's like, I don't want to cause any tension there. So we don't go around calling our names, our kids Jesus. But in the Old Testament, it was Yeshua. Sounds like a word we do use. Instead of a Y, we use a J. What's it sound like? Joshua. Any Joshuas here with us today? Sit up a little bit straighter. It's like, yeah, they named me after Jesus, because that's what happened. You see, when Joshua gets translated into Greek, it becomes Jesus. And when Jesus gets translated into English, guess what it is? Jesus. Doesn't mean every Joshua in the Old Testament is Jesus, okay? What it means is people were calling their children the Lord saves before Jesus came on the scene. And that it's an important thing, a message that God wanted to continue on for every individual to come to that understanding of who he is. And we all know someone who needs to know that. So how are you going to let them know? It's like you already feel a little sweaty, like, oh, you mean I got to have a conversation at Christmas, you know, when all the family's together and there's people there that might not know who God is or don't care? Maybe. Maybe it's asking if you can pray before the meal even, just kind of see, you know, if, hey, you might be able to start a conversation. Do you know one of the easiest things to do? If they're in the area, extend an invitation to them to come here for Christmas Eve services. Do you know why? Because we're going to talk about someone on Christmas Eve. Anybody have an inkling who that might be? You're that confused already? Jesus! We're going to talk about Jesus on Christmas Eve. We're going to talk about him all throughout the year, but especially on Christmas Eve. So you have someone who needs to know Jesus' salvation, invite them to come with you and be here so they can hear about Jesus being salvation, because it's so important, that message, that God took the time to name him salvation so we would have that clarity again and again. Now, most of us have more than one name. Jesus had more than one name as well. Most of them have his first name and last name. We have this understanding that as we see Joseph being told to name this child Jesus, he's also told that this child will have another name. It's actually going to be a name that other people use. And it was something that was prophesied. And we see it again here if you go back to Matthew chapter 1. And we see this really in verses 22 and 23, where it tells us this. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. That prophet's named Isaiah. There's a book in the Old Testament, Isaiah. And we see that Isaiah is one. You'll see it in black and white, in writing, Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14, these words here that come next. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. 700 years before it even happened, Isaiah said, this is what's going to happen. A virgin will conceive, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. It is so important that we understand that. Not only that Jesus is salvation, but Jesus is with us. When you look at a true description or a reminder that a name gives, the name Emmanuel gives us this reminder. It gives us a reminder of Jesus' nature, that he's God and man, fully God, fully man. Now, before Jesus showed up on this earth, here was a thought, and a lot of times a thought we gravitate to. God's up there somewhere, like way up there somewhere, and we're right here and never do the two meet until heaven. And we kind of get this idea that we are so distanced from him. And he wanted to change that. And so in doing so, of all the ways that he chose that he could save us, he chose to have God become a man. Now that plays with your head a little bit, doesn't it? That's one of those things I could think about all the time. It's like, how does that work? How can that work? Colossians chapter 2, verse number 9 says it this way. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Now, think about it when it messes with you. Because the way he did it. Jesus was born, we know, as a, what? Baby, right? He was a baby. Does that mess with you already? Because, you see, I can't picture Jesus growing. It's like, because those have limitations. Babies have limitations. And I just can't see God being limited. And yet he makes it very clear, God was limited. Here's the defining line, though. The difference is this. Jesus never sinned. That's the differentiation, the differentiating mark between him and us. He's the God-man, remaining fully God, also being fully human. Tension comes as I think about it. How about those years of like 12, 13, 14? What was Jesus like? Did he have pimples? And you begin to think, I just can't see Jesus having pimples, right? It's like, there's no way. He wouldn't be perfect then, right? No, because perfect doesn't mean perfect complexion. Perfect meaning no sin. Silent Night teaches us something about Jesus that I'm not sure is accurate. Remember those words? No crying he makes, right? Do you think Jesus cried? We know that he cried. Shortest verse in the Bible is what? Jesus wept. He cried. Do you think he cried as a baby? He couldn't have cried because it's a sin to cry, isn't it? And all the parents said, amen, that's right. No kids crying, man. My life would be so much better. Not true, though. Jesus was a baby. He didn't start talking from day one, okay? It's hard for us to grasp that, though. Room for growth physically. The Bible tells us he grew physically. He even grew emotionally. You know the hardest one it tells us? He grew spiritually in favor with his Father. It's like, Not to say he was spiritually immature, but there was a process that he had to go through as a human being because he was limited in ways that we do understand ourselves way too much, but we don't understand on God's side. Why do you suppose he wants to point this out? Because it's so very, very important. We understand he's the God-man. Because then we can't play the God card anymore. The God card being, you know what? You can't understand me because you're God. You never went through any of this. It says he went through every temptation that we do, yet without sin. Jesus had pain. He had emotional pain. He had people betray him. He had people leave him. He had people lie to him. Jesus had physical pain. He was beaten worse than any of us will ever be beaten. Had a crown of thorns and suffered in a way that we can't even imagine. And we can't say, well, he was God. You know, it kind of, you know, that kind of helped things a little bit. No, it didn't. He still had those same pains. So none of us will ever be able to say, God, you don't understand. He's trying to help us to understand that it's important that he came as a human being so that we could actually see his suffering and how ours isn't going to probably even meet up to that. Because it's important for us, isn't it? So when he says, or others say, he's Emmanuel, he's saying, God with us. So not just his nature, but also understanding his presence. Very unique thing that Matthew does here. He starts with it, he ends with it. He started by saying, you know what, this is Emmanuel, God with us. But look at the way he ends this. This is after Jesus had died. This was after he had come back to life and before he was going to go up into heaven. He gave us our marching orders, and then he said something very specific he never wants any of us to forget. We all need to remember it. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's our marching orders. Now, look at what he says. Say it with me, would you, everyone together? And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He was going to leave. And he says, I want this to be unmistakable. Yes, I'm leaving physically. I am always with you. Always with you. There are people who need to know that. Need to know Jesus is salvation. Not only that, but know that he's always with us. As I mentioned, the reason for my family get-together was not something that was planned well in advance. In fact, if you would have asked me just a week ago if I was going to see my family for Christmas, I would have said, no, I never see my family for Christmas. Not my siblings, at least, and my parents. Wasn't planning on it. But that changed because my 93-year-old grandmother passed away. And so I took a trip to Iowa to go be with family and friends. And so my prayer before I left was this. God, would you please use me on this trip? Please. Prayed it several times, asked other people to pray it as well. So I go, hanging out with siblings, hanging out with my mom when I get there, you know. No big God moment. They're believers. It's like, you know what, okay, you know what, this is just normal stuff. Thought, okay, the funeral is going to be the opportunity that God's going to give me to speak to someone. And so I go, you know, there's a visitation, I'm catching up with family. Some of them, like I said, I hadn't seen in over 30 years. And so thinking, waiting for this God moment, doesn't happen. No conversation about God, even. It was all in just a little bit of small talk, that was it. The funeral, usually I'm officiating a funeral, not sitting as a participant. And so thought, well, maybe I'll get to say something. Nobody said anything except for one person, the pastor. That was it. He talked about my grandmother. He knew her, so it was very appropriate for him to do so. A few of the kids had spoken to him, asked them to say some things on their behalf, and he talked. He shared. I'm thinking, God, what's going on? You're not answering my prayer. Now, I'm not naive enough to think, you know, God's not doing anything, you know, but it's just like, this is just normal stuff. This is no God moment. This is no, hey, you're using me in some special way. I have one more opportunity. I'm going to go see my dad. He wasn't at the funeral. I'm going to stop by on my way out of town. And so go see my dad. I thought, this is going to be it. Nothing. Yeah, a little bit of talk, you know, but nothing huge. Like, okay, God, I guess that's the way it was meant to be. This is just going to be one of those things I never know about that you just use somehow. Head out. 5 hours to get back, getting a little hungry, so I stop at McDonald's. I'm sitting there, older gentleman comes out. He had been meeting with some people, comes out. I go in. I'm sitting there, had ordered my food, doing a few emails and stuff, figuring I should do those while I have a chance here. He comes back in. He sits down right behind me, has his food and everything, so had the meeting, came back, pulls out his phone. He says, yeah, it was confirmed. It's cancer. He goes, and I'm really scared. I said, God, remember my prayer? Then I had this wrestling match going on inside of me. It's like, what am I supposed to do with this? He might not like me, so I don't know if I should talk to him. And God's saying, you need to pray for this guy. In fact, you need to get up, turn around, and ask him if you can pray for him. I'm like, okay, God, I'll make a deal with you. If he's off the phone by the time I finish this meal, I'll do it. So I start flying through the fries. No, I didn't. It was only seconds later he hung up the phone. I'm like, okay, this is like jumping off a diving board when I was a kid. I had to just do it, you know. It's like, hey, I figure once I'm off the board, there's no turning back, okay? So I'll get up, turn around, and risk looking like a fool, but by the time I look like a fool, I have to say something. So I get up and say, you know what? I don't usually eavesdrop on people's conversations, but I couldn't help but hear your conversation. He goes, yeah. Because I'm really worried. I don't know what's going to happen. I said, you know what? I figure I better give him a few credentials, okay? So I said, I'm a pastor. He didn't say, get out of here. So it's like, okay, maybe this is safe. And God wants me to pray for you. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself? He said, my name's Dennis. talked about his wife, talked about his kids, told me the type of cancer he had. I said, I'm going to pray for you, Dennis. You mind if I pray for you right now? He goes, no problem. That'd be great. You know what he needed to know? Like we all do when we have times like that. God is with us. And that God is salvation. God gave me an opportunity. Said, God, I was expecting it to be a little different than that. But thank you. Every one of us have someone in our lives that need to know God is with them. Who is it? Are you going to see them for Christmas? And are you going to tell them? It's our responsibility to do so. And I hope that you will take that responsibility. Let's pray. Before we do pray, I know that there are probably those in here that need to know and be reminded that God is with them because there's a struggle in your life. And I'd like to pray for you. If that's you, would you just raise your hand right now saying, you know what, I need to be reminded that God is with me. Okay? All right. All right. Thank you. God, help those, Lord, whatever the struggle it may be, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, Lord, whether it be spiritual, God, it's probably a mix of all those, that you would show them and remind them of Emmanuel. God is with us, not just as a baby, not just for a short 30-year period of life, but you're with us now. And God, that you love us, you care about us, and you're the one who gives us that hope. And God, I pray you'd help them to be encouraged by that. Then, Lord, help us to take it one step further, every single one of us, to share your name, and most of all, the meaning behind that name with someone else this Christmas. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen.